From the corner where Dan Lloyd famously crashed during the Tour of Ireland. From Mike Cullen, County Galway. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show, episode 700.
Anyway, go. I know what you're thinking. We haven't aged a bit. You're probably right. And now coming up this week, never mind the Tour de France, we tell you about the biggest bike race of the year, which has just started, and why it matters so much.
We've also got hot new tech from the race that was once called the Dauphiné, more UCI bands, the best thing that's ever turned up at GCN Megabase, and the latest performance-enhancing supplement that will undoubtedly revolutionise your cycling.
Undoubtedly. That, and in our end-of-show nugget, we explain why there were so many people keen to take a picture of my arse at the end of Seven Gravel Race.
I mean, if you don't stick around for that one, what are you going to stick around for?
Yeah.
This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that the UCI has been busy updating more equipment rules.
Yep, the minimum handlebar width and bike weight remain in place, but among the new ones are a maximum size of head unit and pockets in the front of your jersey.
So the latter has apparently been used by some riders to gain an aero advantage, although from what we understand, beer bellies are still allowed.
That's a relief, isn't it? Now, we also learnt last week that Arnaud Delis is like a human nuclear reactor. To win stage 3 of the Tour de Wallonie, he produced 967 watts for 54 seconds.
It really was quite incredible to watch, and he literally seemed to come out from nowhere to win that stage.
Yes. Now, we also learnt that the ultra-endurance world has been mired in another scandal. So the leader of the Trans-Balkan race was disqualified 74 kilometres from the end of the 1,400-kilometre off-road race after he was caught taking support from a mysterious van driver.
It's like a mixture of the Armstrong era and the 1904 Tour de France rolled into one, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Regular viewers will note that ultra races are strictly self-supported. What's weird, though, is that without a governing body like the UCI, that guy Radoslav Golevievsky is free to compete anywhere at this point.
Basically, what we're saying is the UCI actually needs to ban more stuff this week.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, now, finally this week, we learned that the most hotly anticipated race of the year has just started. So, no, we are not talking about Pogacar versus Vingegaard at the Tour de France, nor Vollering versus Van der Breggen. We're not talking Unbanned. We're not even talking about whether I will win the Gravel World Championships.
No. Yes, more anticipated even than that question.
Yeah.
It's the race around the world that we're talking about.
Long-time viewers will remember that in 2017, Mark Beaumont rode 18,000 miles to circumnavigate the globe in just 78 days, slashing over 40 days off the previous record.
To do that, he rode for 16 hours a day, clocking up an average of 386 kilometres per day and relying heavily on the incredible support team that he'd assembled for that attempt.
I actually was lucky enough to ride with him on his first day.
Yeah.
And at the time, and for a long time after, in fact, it was my longest ever bike ride.
Yeah.
And it completely took me apart.
It did, didn't it?
It did.
I think that's also the only end to a GCN video where one of us is just asleep on the screen.
Yes, we should do that more. I think that'll make our lives easier. Anyway, while Mark himself would say that the record is absolutely there to be broken, for a long time, I think it's fair to say that most people thought that one was not only on the shelf, but it was on a very high shelf.
Very high, yeah. Not only is it a superhuman effort, but also a monumental and expensive logistical challenge. As he had a team of four people with him at all times, with more involved at other points of his journey, which of course involves many different countries, borders, ocean crossings, all while the clock keeps ticking.
Yeah, gives me anxiety just thinking about it, actually.
Well, it always has for me. I've said that multiple times.
Yeah. Now, that record is now under serious threat. Enter stage left, Lael Wilcox, one of the most legitimate ultra riders on the planet, who's already ridden around the world in 108 days as like a semi-warm-up.
Yeah, doing that in 2024, she took the women's record from Jenny Graham, although Jenny was completely unsupported, whereas Lael's approach was something of a hybrid, really, wasn't it? Not Beaumont levels of help, but equally definitely not on her own.
No. However, on Sunday, Lael set off from Chicago. Her target is 78 days, riding 240 miles a day, which is 386 kilometres, the exact, weirdly, distance as Beaumont.
Which makes you wonder whether we might get a kind of sprint finish in Chicago on the 24th of August.
Imagine that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it's going to pan out, but on that schedule, it does look remarkably like that.
It was possible, doesn't it? Interesting to see that her route is also very different to Beaumont's. His makes a very pleasing-looking line around the world, starting in Paris, crossing Europe into Russia, Mongolia and China, before heading south to Australia and New Zealand, and then across North America from Alaska to Nova Scotia.
Yeah, present-day geopolitics makes that route a little bit dicey, I think we can say. So Lael, first of all, crosses from Chicago to Nova Scotia, then Europe, but in an arc, so first north and then south into Turkey, across Kazakhstan, then a transfer to Thailand, Malaysia, then back on the same route as Mark.
One of the cool things about the record is that route selection is up to the rider themselves, but there are several requirements it needs to meet. So it has to start and finish in the same place, it has to go in one direction, cross antipodal points, so opposite points on the globe.
Which is generally, nerd fans, why New Zealand is on the route, because it's directly opposite, can you guess? Spain. Yeah. If you don't go through New Zealand, then you've got to go through South America and either Mongolia or Malaysia. But South America is quite tough going from west to east. Or
personally,
east to west.
I would definitely avoid the Andes.
I mean, I would as well. I mean, if we ever ride around the world.
Exactly, yeah, good point. I would probably avoid the record completely, if I'm honest. Lastly, the rule is that you have to ride a minimum of 29,000 kilometres.
That's a big bicycle ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the big question then is to whether her route is going to be faster. She has made the headlines already for shaving her head in order to save time. Apparently she said that looking after long hair was like a waste of time, so she'll get to sleep more. And then other testing as well, by the look of it, has been pretty rigorous. But I'll be honest, I'm quite surprised after all the wind tunnel testing things, how normal her bike and equipment actually looks.
No, I was surprised as well. You'd have thought she'd have gone for aero stuff, but no. Aside from aero bars, she's got a specialised Roubaix, even fairly shallow zip wheels, and a non-aero helmet, by the looks of it.
Yeah. I guess comfort trumps aerodynamics.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
But Lael, we should say, infamously cuts the chamois out of her cycling shorts. So her view of comfort is probably slightly different to ours anyway.
I'd definitely choose to use a chamois on a
ride like that. Rode around the world.
Yeah, good point again. So. anyway, as we film this, she's made a very strong start, riding 412 kilometres in the first 24 hours. And her tracker shows she has an early lead, probably because unlike Mark, she didn't have to wait for Si here on her first day of riding, did she?
Look, if Mark loses the record by an hour, you are not going to pin this one on me, right? Because he definitely did not wait for me on that first day. Not because I wasn't slow, but because I literally had to chase after him. So he split his day into 4-hour segments. Mm. So after the second break, 8 hours of riding, I had to go and take a dump in the woods. Anyway, when I emerged from the woods, he was long gone, and I literally had to chase after him.
It's a lovely image, Si, I've got to say. Now, of course, this is just a straight-up race between two ultra-endurance legends and titans, but it's also a really interesting race between male and female, a story which Lael is using to inspire women around the world.
Yeah, ultra-distances often see the gap between male and female performances, well, certainly eliminated, often reversed. We see it a lot in running, don't we? The likes of Jasmine Paris, but then also in cycling too.
Here we do. So close to home, we've got Dr. Sarah Ruggins, who last year set the outright record for the length of the UK and back. So that's John O'Groats to Land's End and then back down to John O'Groats.
Joggler jog.
Joggler jog, yeah.
For those that know. Now, she covered the 2,700 kilometres in 5 days, 11 hours, which is 6 hours faster than the previous record, which had been set by a man, James McDonald.
So, start your dot watching. Head over to Lael's Instagram for updates and we'll watch this unfold over the course of this summer.
Yeah, and you can actually also watch Sarah Ruggins as well. She's back in action. She is about to embark on another record attempt starting from Tarifa in southern Spain. She's going to ride over 6,000 kilometres, or 3,700 miles, through 9 countries to reach Nordkapp in northern Norway.
Yeah, so that's an attempt to beat the fastest known time for cycling 6,000 kilometres, which is actually currently held by another doctor, Ian Walker. He did it in a time of 16 days, 20 hours and 59 minutes.
Yeah, he went the other way.
He did.
He went north to south. And that might have been where he thought up all his moto normativity stuff.
Might well
the
have
very
been,
same
might
Ian Walker.
Yeah. Now, in trying to beat that time, Ruggins says that she's going to be riding up to 22 hours per day. And in that time, she will need to cover around 360 kilometres per day on average.
We can't quite work out how she's therefore going to set the 6,000 kilometre record.
No, it's a bit confusing, isn't it?
But anyway, records is records. So if Guinness ratifies it, we'll go with it. Now, if you want more Lael, by the way, now is a good time to remind you about GCN's channel memberships. A lot of you already know about this, but we realised last week that there are a lot of new viewers who aren't aware of this.
Yeah, the reason we realised last week is because we released a heap of documentaries that we made a few years ago and put on our GCN Plus app, which was a paid-for service. We have since been making a lot of them available here on YouTube for channel members. We just released two more that feature Lael Wilcox, incidentally. We have the story of her FKT through Oregon, Tales of Endurance, which hears from three ultra athletes, and also Rift, a journey through Iceland.
That's three then, isn't it?
That's a good point, so yeah.
That is three, yeah. Brucey bonus for you. Now, if you would like to watch them, or if you just want to support GCN, or probably both, there are three levels of membership that you can choose from. So to get access to the documentaries, you will need to choose either the casquette or the bidon options, which are £12.99 or £22.99, that's pounds sterling, respectively.
Don't forget, though, this content is additional to our usual GCN free-to-view content that you find here. It doesn't mean that we are putting our latest content behind a paywall.
No, it does not. Now, we should say both membership options come with added benefits as well as the premium films, details of which you'll see when you click on the join icon below.
The third option is the Musette membership, which is £2.99 a month. With that one, you get loyalty badges next to your name when you make a comment under one of our videos, and a choice of custom emojis to use too, and a discount in our online shop. You might actually notice these special badges next to some comments if you read them below our videos. We certainly do, and we really appreciate the support, so thank you.
We do, like, we genuinely do appreciate the support.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that this arrived in GCN offices this morning.
So many excited people.
Right? Yes.
We're lucky enough to be inundated here at GCN with the latest cycling toys, but this is the first time we've actually received a genuine cycling-related toy. So thank you to Lego for that.
Yes. Now, seeing, Dan, as my kids are younger than yours, I thought that I would probably look after this.
Well, it's not for kid size. It clearly says on the box it is 18 plus, which means it's perfect for my kids and me. One of my kids.
Well, mine are really advanced. So, and to be honest with you, Dan, I really want to make
this. Well, so do I. I was obsessed with Lego when I was younger. Should we do an arm wrestle?
Absolutely not, no. I mean, we could do a 20-minute max test on Zwift. That'll settle it.
No sort of max test anywhere for me, si, sorry.
Okay. Well, rock, paper, scissors it is then. After the show. I'll just keep it over here, next to my bag. Right, after last week's bombshell about tilting your bed to stimulate more natural EPO production, which is a bit of a banger of a piece of research, there is another banger that we've discovered this week, published in Nutraceuticals.
Oh, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and it's titled, wait for it, Short-Term Methylcobalamin Supplementation is associated with changes in anaerobic and cognitive performance in amateur cyclists. A randomised crossover trial.
Lovely. Now, for those of you that don't know, methylcobalamin is a type of vitamin B12.
Yeah, we knew that already.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, vitamin B12 supplementation is the latest miracle performance enhancer, apparently. Now, I'd never heard of it either, but the results are quite striking. So, after 3 days of taking it, testing over five 30-second max sprints showed that peak power, average power, and also brain function improved. And while it was a small sample group of 18 amateur cyclists, it was a triple-blind study. So, pretty watertight.
Sounds good.
Worth taking note of.
Incidentally, if you missed the tilting the bed to stimulate more EPO story, it was our end-of-show super nugget on last week's show. Basically, you've got to tilt your bed 6 degrees, head upwards, and you get the same performance gain, apparently, as going to an altitude training camp.
Apparently. And the best thing, though, is that you won't have to leave your partner behind. They get all the benefits as well. Exactly. So it's an easy sell.
Although, to be fair, I think there are a few things that Lorraine, my partner, could do to improve her riding before tilting the bed up for a 4% performance gain. This is her just about to leave the cafe midway through our gravel ride that we were out filming last Friday.
Didn't she say that you couldn't include that in the video?
She said exactly that, Si, yes, but she didn't mention anything about the GCN show, nor does she watch the GCN show, so there it is for everyone to see.
If Dan isn't on the show next week, you will know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a dead man.
Oh, you really are. Yeah, really are.
Moving quickly on then. There have been loads of new bikes spotted by the likes of Cycling Weekly, Cycling News and Road CC at the Criterion du Dauphiné, which started on Sunday.
Yeah, or the Tour of then Rhône Alpes, as it is now called. If you want all the details that are currently known, which is not very much, then make sure you watch the GCN Tech Show this Thursday. But in short, Paul Sexas is riding on a new Von Riesel, which looks like a climbing bike with aero features, presumably with an eye to having some free speed whilst also being as close as possible to the 6.8 kilo weight limit.
Hopefully not under it.
Red
Bull Bora Hansgrohe, meanwhile, appeared to have a new specialised road bike, presumably the SL9, which has a cleaner front end, bladed seat post and seat tube that kind of hugs the rear wheel like many aero bikes. Uno X have a new Ridley that looks more like a climbing bike, so maybe they're not dead in the pro peloton after all. Whilst Cube have done their first update to their aero bike in quite some time with what looks like bigger tyre clearance and a new one-piece bar and stem design.
Plus, Orbea have a very nice looking new aero bike as well, which has been hiding in plain sight under the Lotto Intermarché team.
A lot going on, isn't there? Sounds like the Dauphiné is the place to be for hot tech this year, doesn't it?
Or the Tour Rhône Alpes Auvergne.
Tour Auvergne, yeah, whatever it's called.
That one, yeah. Now, sticking with tech, our tyre partners at Pirelli have launched some new gravel tyres, the updated Cinturato Gravel RM and RHs.
Yep, one of the tyre tread patterns has been around for a while, the RM for mixed conditions, it used to be called the RC, and then the RH for hard pack courses is a new one. Both these updated models are HP, which stands for high performance, and they're made in Italy, and they have a more supple carcass.
I'm here for supple carcasses, Dan. They claim it has got 17% less rolling resistance than the standard RH, and there's actually even more of a saving on the RM.
So are you going to be using them on the dreaded pea gravel this October then?
Absolutely, I will. Less rolling resistance is absolutely ideal.
And will you be using the new 55mm version?
No, I will not. Well, I was thinking, the wider your tyre, the more peas it will roll over at any point. So actually, the wider it is, the slipperier it is.
I mean, tractors are screwed.
Yeah, well, do you know what? They said when they're out there, I mean, you'll remember this, but you won't know, when they run the World Rally Series in that region, the drivers there say that pea gravel is basically like driving on ice. Mm. Now, I didn't think it was like riding on ice, and I have a feeling that's because I was using 45mm tyres, not whatever rally car tyres are. So I reckon slightly narrower might be better.
But there were two things that everyone that came up to us said, weren't there? First thing was, have you seen the pea gravel and ridden on it? And the second thing was, it wasn't as bad this year because it rained a little bit the night before.
So yes.
We had it easy.
We did have easy pea gravel.
Yeah.
Easy peasy, some might say. Sorry. Right, now, an expansion on the UCI banning stuff. We mentioned it at the beginning of the show. They've put a restriction on the size of head units that pros can use in races, citing safety reasons.
Yes, it seems what they are essentially saying is that the more information a rider has to look at on their screen, on their bars, the more distracted they're going to be. And I've got to say, I'm not against that rule at all. And I don't think it'll affect anything anyway, to be honest. Most riders choose the smaller option from their respective head unit providers.
Yeah. Although they might well be making a rule that disadvantages people with short sight. Because you might just want a really big font.
Yeah.
Less distracting when you can see your watts in like size 200.
This could seriously affect the age group category riders of the UCI Gran Fondo World Champs and Gravel World Champs.
I can imagine that. Yeah, I fell off. Why was that? I was just staring at my head unit.
Like, what if you got the biggest head unit you're allowed under UCI regulations with one data field on it?
Exactly.
That's all I can read.
They haven't thought this one through, have they? No, I mean, we joke. I think it is good that the UCI is trying to implement safety things, but I can't help but think that they're sort of skirting around the edges a little bit. But anyway, maybe they won't get sued for this one. The banning of pockets in the front of jerseys, that's not a bad one either, is it? So the reason they've been used is for aerodynamic purposes. And again, the UCI have cited safety reasons for the decision, rightly pointing out that the faster riders go, the more chance there is of severe crashes. There's essentially more energy involved, isn't there?
Maybe they better ban blocks going underneath beds then, because of all the performance advantages to that side.
I mean, if the UCI stuck around for last week's Super Nugget, they may well already be doing so.
WADA's probably looking at methyl, whatever it was as well, B12.
Cobalamin?
Yeah, that one. Nailed that one. Right, we're going to finish Cycling Shorts this week with a corrections corner, and actually a very important one at that.
Yes, apologies. Last week, I incorrectly said that 7 pedestrians had been killed by cyclists in London in 2025. It sounded quite high, but I was like, whatever, that's what the data says. Turns out I'd made a mistake with TfL's dashboard.
Yeah. So what you'd done, Si, was looked at all-time stats rather than a 12-month period for that part, so apologies for that. The good news then is that no pedestrians were killed by a cyclist collision in 2025 versus 4 that were killed by motorcyclists, 30 by drivers of cars, 3 by private hire vehicle drivers, 5 by bus coach drivers, 11 by goods vehicle drivers, and 3 by drivers of other vehicles.
Yowzers. That's actually quite sobering, isn't it? Anyway, thank you to everyone who pointed out the mistake, including Harry Mending, who basically went and checked, worked out what on earth I'd done wrong.
Next up, as you know, it's time for Hack /Bodge of the Week. You can get involved in this part of the show by going to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Right, our first one this week comes in from Cycling Goddess.
Wowzers.
Aircast boot with SPD cleats. Due to an ankle fracture, I wear an Aircast boot. The thought of not riding for 6 weeks is frustrating. I cannot ride on flats on my trainer due to the uneven stack height. So a friend cut into the rubber sole and fixed an SPD cleat to make the stack height even, and voila, I can ride on my trainer. And nary a zip tie in sight.
Well, that's music to my ears. I wonder how they've done it. That's amazing.
Like, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. So, I mean, assuming that your doctors and physio say that it's okay to cycle, I would assume it is. You didn't ride when you had bust your ankle, did you?
I barely rode before it.
I mean, good point.
I did. I mean, it did happen on a ride.
Yeah.
But, I didn't ride much afterwards.
No. But no, I think that's great. If that has scratched the cycling itch, then that's a lot of
stickers
hack
on that rocker plate, isn't there?
Yeah, there is actually, isn't it?
GC Cus, I can see. That's cool.
Yeah, nice. Not a GCN one, though.
No, might be just probably hidden. I expect it's in prime of place, but just out of shot.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. All right, no, that's a hack from me.
And a hack from me.
Right then, next one was sent in by Cinderella Trucker.
Cycling Goddess and Cinderella Trucker.
There you
Fantastic.
Go.
Fantastic.
Inspiration for others, they've said. I love your show. Thank you very much. I get a lot of inspiration, and I thought maybe I could give some to others who want to ride but think it isn't possible because of their career choice. So, since the bike industry hasn't invented bike racks for semi-trucks, I had to make one myself. It was born out of necessity, because I love riding and I don't want to sleep with my bikes. So how can I store them outside in a way that prevents them getting covered in road grime? So this is my solution. So that looks like it's mounted behind the cab, and then, what is it? Oh, it doesn't actually say how he's done it.
No.
But anyway, there you go. It's possible to mount 2 bikes on the back of a semi-truck.
You're assuming that Cinderella Trucker is a man, eh?
I have done, yeah.
That was a bit of a mistake, wasn't it? Might be another apology coming up next week.
So. Well, I know, yeah.
Didn't look at the data properly again.
Someone called me out last week for saying they.
Oh, did they?
And I was like, well, actually, I think
did
that was better.
Did she?
Did they? Yes. Anyway, this time I forgot. So yeah, apologies, Cinderella Trucker.
Yeah, well, I think this is a definitive hack because, as they point out, if you just want to continue on with your hobby, even in a job where normally you wouldn't be able to, this seems like the perfect solution, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does seem cool. So that's a hack from us then.
It is. Chill Winston, Teflon tape, saved my Unbound. Flew to Kansas City last weekend for Unbound, and after assembling my bike, the reserve valve in my rear wheel was leaking air and causing a flat. I had Tannis armour installed, so removing the tyre to service the valve was not an option. My buddy Michael, who works for Meta, had the ingenious idea of trying some Teflon tape between the valve and the valve cap. 330Ks later, the tyre still held pressure, and I got through the second most difficult Unbound in recent years.
This has sort of blown my mind slightly, Dan. So Teflon tape, stuff that like plumbers use, right? Yeah. But who would have thought that the valve cap, like a piece of plastic, could be airtight with a bit of Teflon tape? I would have thought it would just blow off.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you?
I would have thought so. But anyway, there you go. That's a great hack. That, you know, those moments where you're sat in a hotel room going, oh crap,
yeah,
this is like my race is over before I've even started. that's blooming ingenious, that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Big up your mate, Michael.
Ah, would have been awful, wouldn't it?
Sat there
after a flight to Kansas as well.
Yeah.
Last one this week comes from Duncan H. I don't have a bike workshop stand, so I use a well-placed branch from the tree in my garden for all essential bike maintenance, mainly lube and chain. Sorry, I'm not a wax guy. This pic was taken the day before I did my first ever 100-mile ride with my pal Rob. It was a great day out, and the chain performed brilliantly.
Well, fair play, Duncan. That is cool. I mean, it's a fairly rudimentary
a little bit,
isn't it? But if it works for you, then go for it.
Yeah, I mean, there are some bike maintenance tasks that could be quite difficult in a sort of free-hanging bike way like that. But in general, for cleaning and lubing the chain, it's adequate, isn't it?
I mean, I probably would go for I'd go for a wall. I'd just leave my bike against the wall.
Would you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
not hang it from a tree. But again, Duncan, each their own. But yeah, I think we just avoid calling this a hack.
Yeah, no, I think we should definitely call this a bodge.
Yeah.
Sorry, Duncan.
But well done for your 100 miles. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We'll pick a winner next week after... Well, we'll give you the photo in a moment, but we'll give you the results from last week first.
We will do. This was the photo from last week. Jonas Vingegaard in the pink jersey as leader of the Giro d'Italia. Our winner this week is Professor Five Zeros, who put caption. Actually, you won't have to do this side because it says David Attenborough voice, and accents and voices are not my strong point.
Well, all right. I will gladly step up to the plate.
Go on then.
Here we see the flamingo in its natural habitat.
That's pretty good, Si.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
And a very good caption, Professor. So well done. Send us a message on Facebook with your address. We'll get that coveted bottle out to you as soon as possible.
Note that that was the Danish pronunciation of Vingegaard as opposed to the anglicised Vingegaard. So
yeah,
I appreciate that I got the Danish pronunciation right in a David Attenborough voice.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable, Si.
No, I'm on fire.
I was criticised on the Race News Show recently for my pronunciation of Vingegaard.
Really?
So I sent a link to Forvo where there's three Danes saying Vingegaard in what I think is pretty much the same way as I say it. That shut them up.
How do you say it?
Jonas Vingegaard.
There you go.
I think that's about right. Either that or they're all getting it wrong in Denmark.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, it's a pretty tough language to pronounce. That was what Ollie and I concluded when we went to Denmark, is that no one really knows. They're all winging it. Okay, what's the caption photo for this week, Dan?
It is this one from, also from the Giro d'Italia, actually.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Men's race a couple of weeks ago. This is Filippo Ganna and Connor Swift of Net Company Ineos, with a chef running alongside them with a sort of pan and some spare hands. I don't know why. Anyway, I will get you started. Hey, guys, do you want a hand?
Oh, nice. Yeah. I see why you picked that photo.
Pretty simple, yeah. I mean, I picked the photo with the easiest caption.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody else can have a caption way more clever than that.
They're looking pretty cool, I've got to say. Ganna and Swift there, aren't they?
Yeah, in the gruppetto, I presume, or just behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, they look like they're taking it quite easy, don't they?
They do,
having a laugh.
Yeah, pretty cool that. Right, yes, get involved. There is another GCN Camelback water bottle up for grabs next week.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, but first up, comments from last week's videos. Last week's show was about the illegal bike that got a rider thrown off the Giro d'Italia, that being, of course, Lorena Vibes, 20 grams under the weight limit of 6.8 kilograms.
It was interesting reading everyone's thoughts, wasn't it?
It was, yes. So, Timo Ruim T. Ape, I don't even know how you say any of that.
No.
We'll have to put it on the screen. You'll read it for yourselves. During the Tour of Flanders, a large group of riders crossed the railway line despite closed barriers and red warning lights. According to UCI rules, this is also prohibited and a far more serious offence than a bike being 20 grams underweight. Yet none of those riders were disqualified, whilst one of them, a certain Pogacar, went on to win the race. So much for rules are rules.
I didn't know that. Did you know that?
Yep.
Last year?
This year.
Mm. It was weird because in Paris-Roubaix, was it a few years back where they threw off loads of people? They disqualified like second and third place, didn't they?
Yes, they might well have done. It was much smaller groups then. This came much earlier in the Tour of Flanders when it was still a complete peloton. So I think the lights weren't going when the first couple of riders went through. And you know what it's like in a peloton.
Yeah.
You're not using your brain properly. You just, I need to stay in this group and on these wheels. So yeah, a few riders ended up going through red lights and then some stopped.
It's true. It's a very good point. Yeah. Chapmag said, I agree with GCN. It definitely penalises smaller riders. This is the weight rule. Same as handlebar rule. And you make a very interesting point regarding the tolerance of the scales, which we said were had a plus or minus of 20 grams.
Yeah. So, there were, as Si alluded to just a couple of minutes ago, quite a lot of people in favour of the UCI. Understandably, I suppose.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan, to interrupt, but I was quite pleased with how many people supported the UCI, because normally everyone wants to stick the knife in to the UCI, don't they?
Oat Monster, SD Works weighed the bike themselves afterwards, and their own scales multiple times, and it was still underweight. It may be a stupid rule, but the time to contest that is not after you've got caught breaking it.
I mean, yes, that is fair, isn't it? There are a lot of people saying that, you know, the team just shouldn't run it that close to the weight limit. You might as well make it 6.9 kilos, as you pointed out in the show.
Most teams seem to do,
She could have ridden a bike that was 10 kilos and it wouldn't have been a disadvantage. So
some people were saying that the bike they claimed she'd used that was the same before and didn't and did meet the weight requirements had a 2x chain set and has been swapped for a 1x, slightly lighter.
I mean, you'd think that was a kind of the oversight that a pro cycling team wouldn't make, but equally...
I don't know whether to believe that anyway, though, because also other people said that, the mechanic forgot to put a couple of valve caps on. I don't know any pro cyclist that uses valve caps.
No. Anyway, apparently the UCI are not replying to their calls, are they? So that one might be dead now. Lastly, Peter Leffler said, I was still there at the end of the show... Tell her it's morning wood. Phrases you never expected to hear on GCN.
Yes. If you're wondering what that was all about, go back to last week's nugget. But not before you've listened to this week's nugget coming up soon. Underneath We Race, the oldest bike race in the world. This was Alex and Connor over at the Crystal Palace Criterium. Dimitri Spurdicou put, thanks for taking your time to talk to the youngsters on the day. My son was in the under eights race and Alex saying that he looked fast made his day.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Saddle Weary said, the word that describes Connor and Alex is genuine. This is definitely the video of the day. We're assuming you don't mean video of the day from GCN because there was only one that day, but maybe across the whole of the internet. Which is excellent news.
Yeah, there's one on GCN Tech as well.
Oh, good point. Oh, it's the best of the two. All right.
And on our international channels.
Fair.
Anyway, GT Barry, so cool to see the young riders getting their helmet signed and showing appreciation to Connor and Chloe's husband for their hard work to educate cyclists over the years.
Yes. Right, and then underneath the Seven Gravel Race. So this is where Dan and I travelled out to Australia a few weeks ago to take part in a Gravel World Series event. I'm assuming you've picked these comments out.
I have, yeah.
So there's a lot of debate about Dan's saddle choice, which has anyone with taste
would know. I'm not sure there is much of a debate.
There is.
You versus the world, basically.
So Chris Cowley says, I think Dan's saddle looks awesome, especially alongside the brown sidewalls of his tyres. Hopeless Username said, 100% the right choice, and I'm not at all biased, having the same saddle on my green gravel bike with the same tyres.
Yeah, good choice.
D.A.O. Nero said, I love the saddle on Dan's bike. Colours are earthy, fit perfect in the backcountry. Come on, I mean, seriously, who wants an earthy bike that fits in the backcountry in a Gravel World Series event? At what point has that ever been cool?
Well,
you reach middle age?
I thought it looked... I am middle aged, firstly, but I thought it looked good, and most of the viewers seem to agree with me that commented.
I mean, most of the comments that you've chosen...
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Well, the only ones that were slightly derogatory said that it would have been better with matching bar tape. Not that the saddle's bad.
I just feel a little bit like that saddle choice shows that you've kind of given up. Not on life, that's a bit much, but on trying to ride fast. That is, like, no fast cyclist uses a brown saddle.
No, maybe not. I can't think of one.
It's like saying, I'm not going to wear a pair of trainers today, I'm going to wear a pair of brogues.
Right, we'll move on, shall we?
Did you pick out anything, by the way, about me?
Well, no. I mean, there were a few comments about your win in your category side, but I didn't get around to them after looking at the saddle ones. No, though, being genuine, I think we were both bowled over by all of the comments that were underneath that video, and so many people desperate to see Si going back to the World Championships in October on that very same course, albeit slightly longer. And given the number of likes we've achieved, we said at the end of the video, incidentally, 25,000 likes, Si will be heading back out. I think we're pretty much there as we record this.
Yeah,
23, 24,000?
Hold up. 26,000 and you come out as well. So don't forget.
Yeah.
Hold up. Ooh, 22,500 likes. Yes.
It'd be annoying if we got over the 25,000 a week before the event, wouldn't it? Wouldn't offer you much time to train.
No. Oh, my goodness. OK, well, we'll see what we can do. It's an exciting, mouth-watering prospect, actually.
It is.
Going back. It so, is. So, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Plenty of content to come before October, of course, including this week. So on Thursday, this is one of your videos, I'm presuming, Si, micro intervals are the magic bullet.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, mate. So my coach for the Seven Gravel Race, Simon Jones, prescribed this training session for me that I'd never heard of before. I needed him to explain it because I was like, what on earth is that? Honestly, this training session has blown my mind, so much so that I've interviewed the guy that invented it and did all the research. And anyway, I'll tell you all about it this week.
I noticed you did some at the weekend. You uploaded to Strava, you're back on Strava.
That was my, yes, that was the day I was shooting, actually, with GCN.
That was it.
Yeah. So yes, I was demonstrating to all you viewers exactly what the session is like.
Looked like you were using that power meter that's overreading to me.
Actually, no.
I got another one.
Yes, I found another one that gives me a few extra watts. Yeah. Right, and then on Saturday, all being well, I'm having some very interesting conversations with some legal professionals, criminologists, lawyers, about why it seems like it's people are punished less when they kill people when they're driving compared to other offences, basically. So is the law soft on drivers? Yeah, it's been quite a lot to get my head around, as you can imagine. I'm not a legal professional in any way, shape or form. But anyway, hopefully that one will be ready for you guys on Saturday. And then on Sunday, so I'm not quite sure that I'm reading this correctly, can Dan win a bike race?
Yeah. Well, that's not the answer necessarily. You have to find out on Sunday. But I think we mentioned this last week, didn't we? We raced at Castle Coombe.
We did.
A couple of weeks ago on a Thursday evening.
A famous cycling race here in the UK, isn't it?
There it is, yeah. It was absolutely great. I loved every moment of it. And you'll have to find out what reasons I loved it so much when that video comes out on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that one.
Incidentally, Si, Alex and Ollie were there helping me to win as well, weren't they?
Super domestiques.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right then, on to the nugget. So amongst the many comments that we had underneath the Seven Gravel Race video, which came out on Sunday, were a few that were sort of speculating as to why there were quite a few people taking a picture of your bum at the end of the race. I hadn't noticed this in the video when I watched it.
No, I hadn't. I mean, I assumed, Dan, that that's kind of what happens all the time when I sort of lean over my bike, exhaust at the end of the race, that people sort of crowd around like that. I hadn't really thought it was weird, but I remembered that you had showed me a photograph a couple of weeks ago that might be from one of those people that was crowding around taking a picture of my bum.
Yeah, so one of the photos was taken by a very good friend of ours and mine, Judith Carl Gallagher, wife of my best man, incidentally.
Indeed,
who's part of the organisation as well. This is the photo that she took of Si's bum. So I think you can clearly see now why they were taking photos and why they were finding it reasonably funny as well.
What goes on at Seven Gravel, stage in Seven Gravel? I told you people got excited at the start, Dan, didn't I?
Yes. I'm presuming this is an exploded gel, Si.
Well, yeah, so I don't know how it got there. Because I was fairly fastidious in getting every last drop out of my 90-gram gel packets. But I guess one of them I'd obviously put back in without the lid on, and there must have been something in there. Anyway, it was a horrible mess. One of those ones where, like, in the race, you kind of go, "Ah, what is that?" And then you're like, really "Yeah, stupid. I'll deal with it later." So anyway, it's washed out fine.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, it was okay.
You were lucky I didn't catch you in the race, because having no carbohydrates, that might have looked quite tempting.
Do you know what's a bit horrible, though, is the thought that I didn't change out of that skin suit, I think, probably
for a
good few hours after the race. So I walked around Seven Gravel saying hello to people for about 2 hours with that on my bum.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've only got the shots of people taking photos from the finish line, but goodness only knows how many people took photos as you were walking around.
Exactly. So, yeah, apologies to anyone who had to witness that in real life. It was a gel, we think.
Yeah.
We hope.
Nice.
Yes.
Right. Well, another great super nugget, I think we can all agree. Thanks very much for watching and getting to the end. See you again next week.
See ya.